longer some of us have served the Lord, the better our hindsight gets to see the Lord was there all the time and was with us. The McBride and Pitt family have been a blessing to us today. On top of everything else, it's been good, and we appreciate them so much. Brother McBride's in great demand, preaching across the country, keeping a busy schedule, and we appreciate him coming and giving us some time. But not only is he a good singer and musician and just all of that, he's a good preacher. And blesses our heart with the Word of God. And tonight we're going to ask him to come and bring the message. So Brother Brian McBride.
Thank you, preacher. Amen. Good to be here tonight. It's a blessing and privilege and an honor to be here at the Landmark Baptist Church. And I've enjoyed all the good things that have happened already today. And we were trying to figure out how many years we've been coming here, but we didn't have any children when we first came. And now I'm a grandpa, so we've been coming a while. Amen. Did I mention I was a grandpa? Did I mention that? Okay. All right. I do have pictures. Amen. But it is good to be here. I want to read a passage of Scripture from 2 Samuel in the 23rd chapter. If you'll turn over there, kind of a little unusual verse. I had a preacher friend of mine call me recently. He said, Brother McBride, he said, I'm going to be the surprise preacher at an anniversary. And he said, do you have any advice about, or do you have any surprise messages? And I said, well, I've been told that all my messages are surprising in an odd schizophrenic sort of way. So I said, you could probably take any of them and they'd work. But I do have an unusual scripture tonight. In 2 Samuel 23, I've been studying a little bit in the life of David. And we have, beginning in verse number 8, a list of David's mighty men. We won't go through them. It's a wonderful list, some amazing things that have taken place. But there's one man that's mentioned here that always seems to capture my attention when I go through this passage. He is found in the latter part of verse 30. And in verse 30, 2 Samuel 23, the latter part of verse 30 simply says, Hittai of the brooks of Gaash. Hittai of the brooks of Gaash. He's also mentioned in the list in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, but his name is a little different in 1 Chronicles 11. In verse 32, it says, Hurai of the brooks of Gaash. And I am interested in this name of this man here in 2 Samuel 23. And I'm going to preach, if the Lord will help me for just a moment, on this subject. I want to live by the brooks of Gaash. Let's pray a moment. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us first. And I pray you'll help us now to preach the Word of God. And I pray you'll get glory from it. And I pray you'll help your people. If there be one lost without God, I pray you draw them unto Christ. And I pray, Lord, that most of all, your name will be lifted up and honored tonight. Thank you for being so good to us. Help us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, when you go through 2 Samuel 23 and you have these men who have come to fight with David, Chronicles tells us the reason they came to David was that they knew, they had heard by the word of God that David was going to be king. And they wanted the will of God to be accomplished in David's life. It's always good to have somebody around you, and it's good to be around people who want to see the will of God accomplished in your life. Those are the best kind of people you can get around. And so we have these men, and unusual things are said about them. One of them slew 800 at one time. One of them, his name was Adino. One of them defended his patch of lentils. One of them clave to the sword until his hand wouldn't let go of it. One of them slew two lion-like men of Moab and went down in a pit and slew a lion in a time of snow and slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. There's so many of them that did amazing things. But here is a man, and the description description of him is somewhat different from every other man in the list. Every other man that you will read about in 2 Samuel 23, it will either tell who his father was, what his nation was, or what tribe he was from. Either his father, his nation, or his tribe. But when we get to this man, Hittai, his father is not mentioned, his tribe is not mentioned, his nation is not mentioned. The only thing that's mentioned is that he is of the brooks of Gaash. Now, the brooks of Gaash, the Bible doesn't say much about Gaash, but it does say a couple things, and I'll mention them to you in a moment. But the word Gaash means a quaking, something that would shake you up, something that would be earth-shattering and life-changing. And I might just suggest this to you. Perhaps something happened to him. By the way, the first time you read about a brook in the Bible, the law of first mention, the first time you read about a brook in the Bible, you know what's going on? Jacob is wrestling with God. Jacob's going across the brook, and God comes and wrestles with him. I believe that was a quaking experience. I'd call that an earth-shattering and life-changing experience. As a matter of fact, Jacob left that place walking differently than he had ever walked before. God touched him and changed the way he walked. So here's what I'm wondering now. I'm just thinking about this. I'm wondering if something happened to Hittai at the brooks of Gaash that changed him so that he didn't want to be known by who his father was. He didn't want to be known by what tribe he was from. He didn't want to be known by what nation he was from. All he wanted to be known by was what happened to him down there at the brook. Can I say this to you this evening? I'm thankful that I was born the son of Keith Elwood McBride and Beverly Ann McBride. I'm glad I was born in Allegan, Michigan. I was glad I was born in America, and I'm an American, a citizen. But I tell you this, something happened to me on March the 10th of 9, 1880 at about 11 o'clock on a Saturday night at 110 North Forest Street in Wayland, Michigan, that made me forget all about my past. And that's what I want to be known by, was that encounter that I had with a holy God when he saved my soul. I think maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But I'm thinking about these brooks a moment, and I want to preach a little while, and I want to dwell by the brooks. I'll mention a few things, and then I'll give you three little points, and I'll be done, okay? I'm a three-point preacher. My problem is sometimes I have 3 points, and then 3 other points, and then I'll try not to do that to you. But I thought about a brook. Let's think about brooks in the Bible. The brook was where Jacob wrestled with God. The brook was where Elijah waited upon God. The brook was where David wept as he had failed God. At a brook, Israel gathered branches of willows to worship the Lord. At a brook, the spies gathered clusters of grapes to encourage the people of God. At a brook, David gathered a handful of stones to destroy the enemy. You know, David picked up 5 stones out of that brook. If you read Bible numerology, some say that 5 is the number of grace. But I read one man who said, no, 5 is the number of death. And there's kind of an argument about whether 5 means grace or 5 means death. But I heard a young preacher say this. He said, whether 5 means grace or death depends on which side of the stone you're on. Amen. At a brook, the faint in David's army rested by the brook Bezor. Asa burnt his mother's idols by the brook Kidron. False prophets were slain by Elijah at the brook Kishon. Shimei was put to death after crossing a brook. Nehemiah viewed the broken down walls of Jerusalem. From beside a brook, Jesus entered the garden after crossing a brook. The Lord did notable things by the brook of Arnon. It's kind of an obscure passage, but it says this in Numbers 21, wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon. The Lord led the children of Israel into a land of brooks. In the Bible, Deuteronomy, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. The Lord smote Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir at the end of a brook. David referred to a brook in a picture of Christ's sufferings when he said this in Psalm 110. in verse 7. He said, he shall drink of the brook in the way, therefore shall he lift up the head. He also referred to the brook concerning his own desire for God when he said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Solomon used a brook as a picture of wisdom. He said in Proverbs 18:4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Job used the brooks as a warning to the wicked. So we find that the brook is used throughout the Word of God. It has an important place in the Bible. Now, I'm thinking about this man Hiddai, and he is making his dwelling at the brooks of Gaash. Now, I said to you that Gaash is not mentioned very much in the Bible, but there are two other verses. Four times Gaash is mentioned. We've read two of the verses. There are two other verses where this unusual place Gaash is mentioned, and they have to do with Joshua. In Joshua 24 and verse 30, the Bible says, speaking of Joshua, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. Then in Judges 2:9, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hills of Gaash. So I'm thinking tonight that this man Hiddai lived at the foot of this mountain where the brooks came down below the hill of Gaash. Now, if that's true, I'm thinking about three reasons, three things about him living in that place. And I want to say to you something about those three things. Number one, I think about Hiddai going down to the brook every day to find out if there was water. You see, brooks are notorious for drying up. Brooks are notorious for not having water in them all the time, but on occasion, there will come an outpouring of rain from the heavens that will fill up the brook. So I'm thinking to myself, Hiddai would go down every day to the brook to see if he could get some water. He might have went down there a lot of days and never got anything to drink. He might have went down there a lot of days and felt like he had wasted his time going down and walking around by the brook. But then one good day, he went down there and there had been an opening up of the heavens and the water had come down and the brook was filled with water, and Hiddai got him a good drink and said, boy, I'm glad I didn't miss today. I'm glad I didn't pick today not to come. Now, I thought about this. I thought about the precious Word of God. I thought about how many times I have gone to my Bible, and I'm going to be honest with you now. I read it, and when I got done, I felt like I was just as dry as when I came. Not that there was anything wrong with the Bible, but I tell you, then there's been some days I got up, and it was like any other day. I approached the Bible the way I'd approached it every other day, but somehow the good God of heaven opened up a pouring out, and I got some things that refreshed my soul, and I went away glad that I hadn't skipped that day on reading my Bible. Sometimes we'll get a little discouraged. We'll say, well, are we ever going to see a move of God? Are we ever going to sense the presence of God? Hey, friend, just keep at it. Just keep going. Just be faithful. And one of these days, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a refreshing, and you'll be glad you didn't skip that day. You see, the brook is a place of refreshing. It's a place to get a good drink. Hiddai, I think, wanted to live there because of that water that would flow. I want to live in my Bible. You know what I want to do? I want to live my life constantly looking for an outpouring of the power and presence and sweetness of God. I don't want to ever stop looking. You say, well, preacher, I've been looking for God to do something in my life, and I just haven't seen it. Just keep on looking. Just keep coming back to the brook. Just keep saying in your prayer closet, be faithful down the house of God. Keep knocking on a door. Keep reading your Bible and just keep at it till one day you get some water in the brook. I want to live by the brook. Not only is the brook a place of refreshing, but then I thought about this. We read on the hills of Gaash that that's where they buried Joshua. Now, Joshua lived a long time before this man Hittai lived. But if he's living at the foot of that hill, here's what he can do. As he goes out to the brook to see if there's water, he might glance up the hill. And as he glanced up the hill, he'd be reminded that God had done some great and mighty things through that man Joshua. You see, I want to live my life not only looking for what God is going to do, but I want to live my life remembering what God has done. I want to live my life bringing up the great things that my God has done. I want to declare it to the generation that comes after. I want to be reminded that there was a day when God made the sun stand still in the heaven. I want to be reminded there was a day when he parted the waters of Jordan and brought them through. I want to be reminded there was a day when the walls of Jericho fell down flat. And I never want to forget that the God that I serve has a God of great exploits and a God of great power and a God who has never lost a battle. I want to be reminded. And of course, Joshua in our Bible, Joshua is an Old Testament type of our New Testament Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a picture of him. And I never want to forget. I want to live my life not only looking for what God will do, but I want to live my life being reminded of what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary. I don't ever want it to get old. I don't ever want it to be stale. I don't ever want it to be mundane. I want it to still warm my heart, and I want to tell people that Jesus died for their sin and they can be saved. I want to live by the brook because it's a place of refreshing and it's a place of reminding. But there's something else. The Bible says this, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. Now, Timnath-Serah is an interesting word. It means an abundant portion. So I'm thinking about, I'm just imagining now, I'm pondering. To use David's word, I'm musing. And I'm thinking about Hittai coming out one morning and checking the brook, looking up, seeing that being reminded of what Joshua did, and then looking away up yonder. And there's that city up there on the hill. And the name of that city is an abundant portion. You see, the brooks of Gaash are not only a place of refreshing and reminding, they're a place of reward. And I can see Hittai saying, you know, there is a place. You have to look up to get a glimpse of it. But there is a city that one day will be our inheritance. It'll one day be where we live. This world is not all there is. This life is not all there is. Somebody said, well, preacher, this is as good as it gets. Oh, no, friend. It gets a whole lot better than this. As a matter of fact, if you're a Christian, this is the worst world you'll ever live in. It only gets better beyond this place. I'm glad we're heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. And I'm glad we can look up and be reminded there is a heaven. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm glad there's a heaven. Somebody said, well, you can get so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I've never met anybody like that. Now, I've been so earthly minded that I was no heavenly good. But I've never met anybody so heavenly minded that they were no earthly good. I thought about where we're headed. I thought about heaven. I thought about our inheritance. And I was reminded, I was reading one day about the Scottish Covenanters. And they were under persecution, and they were not allowed. It was against the law for them to meet together, but they met together anyway in barns and out in the woods, and they met under penalty of death. And I read about a little girl one day headed for the meeting. And as she headed down on a Sunday morning, headed for the meeting, she was captured by a group of soldiers, the Dragoons. And they began to question her Sunday morning. They figured she's out headed somewhere to a meeting, and they began to question her. said, "Where are you headed this fine day, lass?" They wanted to know what she was up to. She didn't want to lie to them. She was a Christian. She didn't want to tell them, though, where she was headed. She didn't want to put everybody in danger. So she thought a minute. Here's what she said. She said, "Sir, my elder brother has died, and they're reading the will. And I go to see what he has left for me." That's what we've done all day today. Our elder brother Jesus has died, and I brought the will to remind you that he has left some things for you. This world is not all there is. Look up, friend. Your redemption draweth nigh. I want to live by the brooks of Gaash, refreshed and reminded and rewarded. I want you to bow your heads a moment. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. And maybe God spoke to your heart. Maybe you've been a little discouraged. Maybe things haven't been the way you thought they ought to be. Maybe your worship, your service, your Bible study been a little dry. Maybe you've been hurt and discouraged. I don't know. Why don't you come tonight and bow your knee before the Lord? Maybe you've been to the altar several times, but you haven't got victory. Why don't you come one more time and kneel down by the brook and see if God won't open up the windows of heaven? I want to live by the brook. Maybe you ought to come tonight and just thank God. I thought about 45 years. You ought to just thank God for how good he's been. All the mighty acts that he has done. The things that he has already accomplished. Let's live our lives being reminded of how good God has been to us. And then let's live for heaven. You know, maybe there'd be somebody here tonight, you've never been saved. You say, "Preacher, I don't know the Lord. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I don't know if my sins are forgiven, but I'd like to be saved." You see, Jesus died on the cross for you and paid the penalty for all your sin. If you'll receive him as your Savior tonight, heaven can be your home. Maybe there'd be somebody to lift their hand and say, "Preacher, I've never been saved, but I sure wish you'd pray for me. I'd like to be." Anybody like that tonight? You lift your hand. Let me see it. In the balcony, on the main floor. Just pray for me, preacher. All right, Father, we love you tonight. I pray you take the message and use it to help your children and to get glory unto your name.